Word of prayer. Father, we thank and praise you for this day now that you've given to us. Father, it is a beautiful day out there that you've given to us. What a day. This is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, is what your word says. And Father, we do rejoice in this day that you've made out there for us. Thank you for the breath of life that you've given to us here today, that we can be here and to hear your word. And it is your word, Father. And as we go over the family, Father, we just ask that your spirit would just show us the right things here, Father. How to teach our children, how to bring them up as an adult, and that they would serve you, and then generation after generation would do the same thing. We uplift that tea and ask for your help. Lord, there's a lot of kids back there today in Sunday school, and we just ask that you would just help them to learn through your word, the different aspects of it. Praise you for it. Guide us throughout this day now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we've been going over, I know it's been a couple of weeks now here, we've been going over some mistakes that we have in understanding shaping influences, and I've just been going over 10 practical ways to give you, to teach you and your children the values of, to teach your children the right values. The first one was model good values. You have to model the values so that they can understand it and follow after you, because they do. They do follow after you. The second one was apologize to your children when you make a mistake. You know, and that's what a lot of parents, they don't do. If they make a mistake, they won't apologize to their children. Too much pride in our lives to do something like that, Darren. We don't do that. So apologize to your children. Third thing was use everyday experiences as a springboard for conversation. Conversation, do whatever you can to get the things rolling to talk to them for conversation. Newspaper articles, the news itself, whatever, you know, whatever it might be. The fourth thing was read your Bible to your children. Not only read the Bible to them, but have Bible studies and act things out. Don't be afraid to do, you know, don't be afraid to act a little foolish with your children. You were a child once yourself one time too. Ad lib with them a little bit, you know, when you do act these things out, you know, these different accounts that you go through in the Bible. And it helps them to learn. I mean, it's good you're not back there in our junior church. That's all I can say. We do a little bit of ad-libbing back there, you know, but, you know, you have to, you know, to teach them. So that, and they learn through it, you know. It's something that's not boring to them. It's interesting. You can see it's interesting to them, so don't be afraid to do that. Share your personal experiences with them was the fifth thing. Don't be afraid to share them, you know, some of the things that you're going through. Now, there's some things, sometimes it's just best to keep to yourself, but there's other things that you've done in your life where you can share it to them that you learned some things. Hold your children accountable for their mistakes. If they make a mistake, you know, don't be afraid to let them be accountable for it. You know, don't come to their rescue right away and all the different aspects of that there, as many parents do. Oh, my child wouldn't do something like that, you know, you'd say to a principal or something, but baloney, you know, they've done it, let them make them accountable for it. The next thing here that we had going over is don't let your children take the easy way out of challenges. Hey, if they start something, make them finish it. That's just the way I look at it, you know. That's your best thing. If you keep letting them get it out of everything that they start and they don't finish it, that's just what they'll do in an adult life too. They'll start stuff and they won't finish it. So help them to do that. And here's where we left off. Encourage your children, or involve your children in encouraging and helping others. Encourage your children to do that, to help others, whenever they can, wherever they can. I mean, it's amazing how helpful they can be to others through just simple acts of kindness and making get well cards or something like that for people. You know, that's something that's good for them. Befriending a kid, you know, that's around them. Maybe at school or someplace out here, you know, that they know. This is one here. Opening the grocery door for a mom pushing a stroller or making some small talk with an elderly lady sitting by herself at a park. Men, teach your children to open the doors for a woman or women or ladies, whatever you want to call them. That's fine. Teach them that. There's nothing the matter with that. I do that this day. You can't believe the people that you just opened the door for, and there's many of them will thank you and everything else. Now, there's some that don't. Well, that's their ignorance. But I was always taught that, teach them that. In my culture, in the older days, we were taught that. And teach your children that. It doesn't hurt. Let them open the door for their mother, you know, for their sisters or whatever. But teach them that. Have them walk on the proper side of the sidewalk whenever they're walking too. A lot of people don't even think of that. If there's anybody going to get hit, it should be you. Not your wife, not the girls, not nobody like that there. Teach them these things. That's something that you need to teach them, you know. And a lot of times, you know, in this culture today, that's nothing. It means absolutely positively nothing, you know. Even in my days when I was in the service and I was over in Germany, the men treated the women over there terrible. Terrible. We'd be standing in a line over there. You rode the train. You didn't have cars or nothing. You rode the train. We'd be standing in a line to get a ticket. There'd be some lady standing in front of you. Some guy come up and just shove her right out of the line. Oh boy, I'll tell you that was really bad for me back then, because I really would get hot under the collar, and I loved it. Just punched him out, buddy. But I'll tell you what, we had to watch ourselves, because if we got thrown in jail over there, they wouldn't come and bail us out. So that was just something, you know. But it was sometimes, you know, you could kind of get your buddy to give you a shove into him or something like that, you know. So, you know, some of that stuff came, what comes around goes around. But anyhow, you know, that was just, I mean, they hadn't, there was just nothing brought up, you know. Bring your children up this way, you know. Help them, you know. Let them sit down and talk with elderly people. I used to love when I was a kid to sit down and talk to my great grandparents. Man, oh man, they had stuff that they could tell you that they went through that you could learn. And don't be afraid to let them go and talk to older people and stuff. Let them sit down there and ask questions. Let them ask their questions. Sometimes, you know, you think, oh man, you're asking too many questions. Let them ask the questions, you know. I just talked to a young boy the other night. I said, you ask questions. You ask questions to your mother and dad. You come and ask questions to the pastor. You ask to your Sunday school teachers. You ask myself. I said, you don't need, but I said, don't be afraid to come and ask questions. You know, that's how you learn. And when you get mixed up or something, you know, that's how you learn, you know. And he was a little mixed up on some things. And, you know, we talked for a long time about different things. And, you know, at the end of it, he says, I like it. I said, now what do you think? He says, cool. So, you know, I thought, well, maybe we did get something accomplished here anyhow. But anyhow, let them ask questions. Don't, you know, especially, you know, if it's about salvation or something like that, let them ask questions. Try to explain it to them the best you possibly can. You know, it's not easy, I know, sometimes, but you just try your best, because you don't know if they're going to be able to comprehend, if you're over their head or what, you know, when you're speaking these things to them. So don't be afraid to do that. Try to motivate your children to do these kind of things. And be on the outlook for people who might need help. And lead your kids to reach out to them. Hey, Jesus was a servant. Teach them to be a servant, you know. Let them be a servant. Visiting nursing homes. You know, that's something here probably I have a sneaking suspicion that is going through the pastor's mind once he gets more teenagers, that they can start a small ministry like that. You know, going out here to the nursing homes, you know. And so, you know, take them out there to something like that. Helping out food banks, you know, where they donate cans of goods and stuff like that, and getting involved in the community. It doesn't hurt your kids to get involved in the community. There's different things. You can't shelter them all their life. They got to learn. And get them out there and let them do these kind of things. This is not only a great way to serve, but your children have the opportunity to develop and practice virtues such as generosity, kindness, compassion, and respect. They get to experience firsthand what it's like to help others, and that's very satisfying. Paul starts out in a lot of his letters, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. James says, James, a servant of Jesus Christ. Peter says, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. They were all servants. Teach your children to be servants. Nothing the matter with that. Questions or comments? Okay. Now, when I get over this and here, I'm talking about all electronics. Monitor television viewing and internet use. When it comes to teaching your children values, there's a lot less unlearning that needs to be done if you minimize their exposure to wrong ideas in the first place. I understand you can't shelter them from everything, but you can. You should limit their exposure to the television and the internet. I understand some of you don't have television. That's okay. I'm not knocking anybody that doesn't. But if you do, monitor it. If they have exposure to the internet, computers, iPads, anything, whatever it might be, monitor it. Watch yourself. Watch it very closely. Consider putting computers only in areas of your home where the whole family congregates. Don't let them have it in their bedrooms by themselves. I know that you can put things on there that they can't get into different aspects of life, but don't tempt them. Just let them be out there where you are. Same way with a TV. You know, if you have a TV, put it someplace where everybody is so that it can be monitored. If you sit down with the kids and watch TV, you know, monitor it. You know, if something happens that's bad, you know, flip her off and then let them ask the question, why did you do that? And then explain to them why. You know, we don't watch that kind of stuff because the Lord doesn't want us to do those kind of things. You know, and the same way with today, if you have or you plan on getting your kids smartphones or anything like that there, monitor it. It doesn't matter. I told you before. I'll tell you again. I just seen it. I mean, I see it all the time all around me, but I just kind of had a snicker to myself. The other day, I came around at the red light in Milheim, and I started up the main drag area, and out there's a kid monkeying with his phone, not paying no attention. Probably crosses the street. Don't pay no attention to cars or anything like that there. It's nuts. It's crazy. The other night, Phil and I were sitting in we had a meeting, the ambulance meeting, and one guy was in there, and the one guy pulls out his flip phone, and another guy, a flip phone? Who has a flip phone? I said, yo-ho-ho, looky here. I said, it's for talking, nothing else. I don't have to do nothing else. That's what it's for, to talk on. Somebody, emergencies or anything like that there. That's what it's for, nothing else. Every time that you see anybody that has these smartphones and whatever anymore, it doesn't matter anymore. I see guys pull into work. As soon as they pull into work, stop their car, you see this light in the car. Boom, 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 they're in there. Just messing constantly. You see the women. I see we have flaggers and stuff. They're always on their phone. I walk up to them. I say, give me that. Boy, if they, it ain't no better. Because I say, bam! I said, I'll throw that down in the brush. Just playing with them all the time, not paying attention, not doing their job that they're supposed to be doing. That stupid phone. That was one of the dumbest things they ever made here in the United States. That it needs to be monitored, you know. It's lousy. So, you know, like I say, watch, you know, let them have it only for, if you're going to do something like that, let them have it for only a certain amount of time per day. There's other things out there to do. When we were kids, we didn't have that kind of stuff. We had great times getting in trouble, you know, and stuff like that there. Man, it was fun whenever we were kids and we didn't have to sit around in the house. We were outside climbing trees, doing whatever we had to do, you know. Whatever we had to do to get in trouble so that we could get out of trouble, whatever it was, but we could do it. So monitor that kind of stuff. That's all I'm going to go on that there, but, you know, just be careful with that kind of stuff. And the last thing here, number 10, is applaud good behavior. This is something a lot of parents don't do, you know. When you observe your children doing something good, let them know that you are pleased with their actions. You let them know whenever you're not pleased with their actions, don't you? Then when you see them doing something good, let them know that you're pleased with it. Thank your children for cleaning. How about if your children, what would you do? You'd probably faint if your children went to their room and cleaned it without you telling them. Huh? Wouldn't they? You wouldn't know what to do. Or what if they went to do their homework and you didn't even have to say a word to them about it? They did their homework. You wouldn't have to ask, did you do your homework? If you didn't do your homework, get in there and get it done. Oh, really? Just their schoolwork. Oh, okay. Well, anyhow, you know, that's just it, you know. Whenever they do it, if they do something, even if you have them, they have jobs, you know, that they have chores that they do. Could you imagine what it would be like if you didn't have to say, did you do your chores? Go do your chores. You know, you're constantly after them. But if they went and did it, I mean, show them the appreciation. Applaud that good behavior that they do, you know. Tell them how wonderful it is, you know, and how things get. How about if they get along with her? You will walk in the living room or your dining room or whatever it is, and everybody's getting along with one another. Could you imagine that? No one's fighting, no one's picking, you know? If they are, applaud them for that. Once in a while, I'd say probably once in a while it happens in your houses, maybe. It did in ours once in a while, but, you know, it did happen. So praise them, you know, praise them for what it is. Praise them for that, you know. Tell them, you know, if they did good in church, you know, praise them that, you know, that they did good. Even if they had a conversation with somebody that you've seen them talking to or whatever, you know, praise them for talking to somebody, you know, and stuff. You know, they're communicating. They're communicating with somebody, and praise them for that, you know. So applaud good behavior. That's all I'll go on that one. And the last thing here is communication is the key. You've got to communicate, you know. The bottom line is that you need to communicate with your children. Talk about what they did right, what they did wrong, how to make better moral decisions, what character traits God wants to see in us, and why you made certain choices in your own life. Granted, it takes time to have these kind of conversations, but if you find the results worth it, it's worth the investment. Don't let yourself get too busy that you stop having real conversations with your kids. And you hear it all the time. I just heard it here this morning. They grow up fast. They do. It's going to be, you don't think it is right now. Some of you ones that has the big families, you think, is it ever going to stop? Yes, it will. I'm telling you. Ask Van. He was just telling Corby this morning about it. But yeah. You know, so have communications with them. You know, they're going to grow up. They're going to grow up fast. And depending on their, look, listen, depending on their ages right now, they could only be with you the next, some of them might be 5, some of them might be 10 years, you know, that they're going to be with you. And that's it. They're going to be out on their own. So, you know, have communication with them. Huh?
Maybe.
Well, yeah, sometimes. I understand. Sometimes you do have to push them out. I had to push one out. There's no doubt about it. But but anyhow, yes, that does happen, you know. You need to use your time with your kids very wisely. Make sure you build time into your schedule for consistent quality face time with your kids while they're home. Have that time with them. Have them conversations with them. I guarantee you, if you do, later on in life, they're going to come back to you and ask you questions. How can I do this? How can I do that? They will do that. I'm telling you. I have kids, all my kids come to me and ask me questions. I have no problem with that whatsoever, you know. And you know, it's a neat thing when they do. So, you know, have conversations. Communication is the key. So there's the 10 things that, you know, that it's something that's good for good values in their lives that you can do and you can go over with. Questions or comments on any of them, because we're going to start another lesson. Y'all okay with that, huh? Okay. So now we're getting into another lesson here. It's something that I feel that we had touched on it a little bit, but now we're going to touch on it. Authority. Something that we don't have today in this society. Authority. You know, And as a way of introduction, I found something here that I thought was really good, and I'm going to go over this here before we really get into the lesson. This is the introduction of it. What are God's ordained authority structures? What do you think they might be? God's ordained. From His Word, what do you think they are? Four of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that goes along with home. It's home, church, government, and there's one more. Workplace. Where you're out in work, you know. Wouldn't it be nice to have somebody that's saved, that goes with God's Word, you know, when they show their authority to you? And, you know. Go to Romans chapter 13. Now, whether you agree with this or not, this is God's Word. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, the powers that are ordained of God." Who's the power there? That's right, God. God is the power. That's who that we all are subject to. Recognizing and obeying one in charge brings security and order to a group. Each person looks to a leader for direction and accountability, and he or she provides guidance for working through questions or problems that arise. The one in charge is ultimately responsible for the activities and productivity of a group. Now, just by reading over that there, they look to a leader. I don't know about you, but that's what I'm looking for in a president. I want a leader that's going to guide and direct. But I would love to have a leader that would follow God's Word. And we don't have that today. They had a debate on TV last night, which I couldn't take. But the Democratic debate was on last night. And I want to tell you what. They put that Hillary Clinton in there. We're doomed. We're doomed now with who we have in there. But, buddy, we're doomed if she gets in there. Just nothing. Nothing with a leadership whatsoever. It's her or nothing at all. That's just the way it is. And, you know, that's just what God, He has it outlined, you know, in His Word, that it's the just what we talked about. It's for the family, the church, the workplace, and the government. And like we read it there, let every soul be in subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that be ordained of God. God is the source of all authority. I said, God is the source of all authority. By virtue of who He is, a creator of all things, God is sovereign, is the sovereign ruler of the universe. He's the creator. We believe that. We believe His Word. We believe He created this universe. We believe that He created you and I. And He is the source of all authority, no matter what it is. The workplace, the government, the church, the family, whatever it is, He is that source. He has all that power. He has all that authority. And he and we have to understand that. The orderliness we find in structures of authority reflect the order of God's own nature. God is Trinity. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father sent the Son into the world as a Savior and Redeemer. Corby, go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. And Natalie, go to John chapter 5, 19. That was 1 John 4, 9, and then John 5, 19. Yes.
1 John 4, 9. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him.
Jesus was obedient to God the Father, John 5, 19.
Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doth, these also doeth the Son likewise.
So Jesus followed, he recognized that God was the authority. He did what his Father wanted him to do. Now, yes, I understand he was equal with him, but he still recognized that his Father was the authority, and he's saying right there that he would only do what his Father would tell him to do because of his authority. So he did that. When Jesus returned to heaven, he and his Father sent the Holy Spirit to comfort Jesus' disciples. You see, God had it already figured out what he was going to do. He sent him to lead them in all truth, remind them of the words of Jesus, and empower them to carry out Jesus' commission to spread the gospel. Van, would you go to John 14:26, and Bunny, would you go to John 15:26? That's John 14:26 and John 15:26.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
And John 15:26.
So when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me.
And Acts 1:8 says, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So we see that Jesus followed, you know, they had everything figured out for the authority. It was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is what it was. Each member of the Trinity works within the structure and authority and fulfills a specific role. Perfectly commenting the others and demonstrating God's glory. The members are not independent of one another, but God the Father is recognized as the authority who directs and empowers the Son, the Holy Spirit, to carry out his will. So he has that. He has the authority set up. We have to understand this, and the only reason I'm going over this, we have to understand this for this lesson I'm getting into for raising our children. Who we are accountable for so that we can tell our children who they need to be accountable to. Themselves. So, but we'll get into that. That's what this is all about. There's four biblical authority structures. God ordained human authority in four areas and established a specific chain of command in each area. So, first of all, the one we talked about, the family, the husband, the wife, and the children. That's the way he has it set up. Ephesians chapter 5, 21 to Ephesians 6, 4, he tells us, he has an authority. Husbands, love your wives as yourselves. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Children, obey your parents, for this is right in the Lord. He has it set up. Husbands, wives, children. We've gone over that. I don't have to go over that anymore for you. So the family, we see that the authority is there. The husband is the head, the wife is next in line, the children are next in line. That's just how he has it, you know. It's that chain, if you want to call it, that chain of command. I hate that word because I hated it in the Army and I still hate it, but it's a chain of command, you know. You even have that in workplaces and everything like that today. Nothing to matter with that. You have that in government. You have your chain of command too, also. So you have that. The next thing was here, the government, the national leaders, the local officials, the citizens. In Scripture, we are instructed to respect and obey government authorities and ordinances and to live honorably within our communities. National leaders and local officials are to punish evildoers and honor those who do well. Isn't it a shame that you have government leaders that are supposed to instruct and that we are to obey them? But it's rough for me to obey somebody that wants to not follow the Constitution that was set up by our forefathers that God led them to do. Whenever you want to get rid of the Constitution and make your own rules and regulations, buddy, it's tough. But yet you're still to follow what God says in His Word. We are to follow those kind of things. Danny, go to, 1 Peter 2, 13 to 17. First Peter 2, 13 to 17. So, according to that, we've got to follow these authorities. Now, if Hillary Clinton gets in there, she just said last night one of her biggest issues, in which Obama is working on right now, is gun control. Gun control. Now, I'm sorry. What just happened in Paris? Now, how many lives could have maybe been saved if there had been some armed citizens? You think about it. But yet we need gun control. What they want to do, what they honestly want to do, it's not gun control. They want to take your guns, period. That's what they want. Because right now they know that you can shoot back. It's not right. It's no good. But yet, according to God's word, I've got to follow to an extent. Because they're not taking my gun. I'm sorry. Somebody was just talking to me the other day. I said, I have a 25-06. If they come down to the end of my lane, I can touch them right there. So stay away from my gun. You know, I can't help it. It's just one of them things. But I have to follow it. So no more than that. I got to get off of that. Okay, church. Church leaders, church members. Within the church, the leadership of the pastors, the elders, the teachers is essential for the health and body of believers, are to honor and respect leaders and to submit to one another and walk in humility. God wants us to do that. Amy, go to Hebrews 13, 17. Chad, while she's looking that up, I'll get you in a minute here. 1 Peter 2, 18. So, within the church, the pastor is the authority. He's the leader. A lot of churches, there's some churches that don't want to follow after that. You know, the pastor is the leader, and then it should be, when they talk about elders and things like that there, it should be the next men in line, which are his deacons. You know, they're supposed to be looking out for us. He's supposed to be making sure that he is feeding us. He's feeding us the right word. He's feeding us, you know, the right things. And he does that. You have to respect that. You have to respect him as his authority. He's the one, if you have problems, he's the one that you need to go to. If he doesn't know the answer to the question, I'm sure that he will find that out for you, or he will direct you to someone who does know the answer to the problem. But that's, he's the authority of the church, and he's who we should follow, you know, after that. That's just, that's the authority. That's the authority that was set up, you know, within the church. So we have the family, the government, the church, and then last of all, the business. Employers and employees. Employers are challenged to act with equality and care as they oversee employees, patterning their behavior after God himself, who is the authority. Employers are responsible to serve well, doing their work wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. 1 Peter 2:18.
Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good in general, but also to the froward.
What if your employer tells you to do something that you know is against God's word? What do you do? What do you think? Go ahead.
Isn't that the same with the government, though? Or no? Because those apostles, the Roman government told them not to say anything. And he says, we ought to obey God rather than man. And so there's a whole thing with communism, with Adolf Hitler. You know, those guys were evil. And they were not, they were absolutely not telling the people and patting them on the back for doing good, they patted their people on the back for doing evil, according to the Bible. So there's a real deal with government and how we're supposed to do it in this day of anarchy. And it's a big ball of confusion sometimes.
How did Paul and Peter do whenever they told them, don't go out after they got, you know, after they were in jail or whatever, don't go out and preach this Jesus? What did they do?
They did anyway.
Exactly right. So maybe it was better to follow God than man. Because there was a lot of people got saved through them two just going out there and doing things like that. You know, the apostles did it. So, you know.
God's blessing is on it too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're to follow, according to the word of God, we're to follow the government, we're to follow our employers that we are employed through, you know. But if they have something that they tell you to do, you've got to go to them and tell them, listen, I follow after the word of God, and I just cannot do that. I'm sorry. If you lose your job, you lose your job. Yeah. It's just the way it is. Just the way it is.
Dean, is it the right thing to say we need to obey the government and our authorities as long as they don't ask us to sin? Or is that something? What do you think about that, Pastor?
I'd agree with that.
Mm-hmm. I do.
There's kind of a fine line. You know, there's some of you are taking the point of looking at the Constitution as a sacred document. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's a man-made document. There's no question that Christianity was involved in forming that thing, and some Christian principles are there, but it is still a man-made document. And that's a struggle I have, is pushing that thing up to the level of being, you know, inspired and as authoritative as the Bible. It's not. But, you know, we should respect that it's a law of the land and so forth, and ultimately that's what our laws are supposed to be based upon.
Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking of his associates. Okay, he stood in a fire, but they followed after God. God blessed him for it. Came out of it, not even smelling smoke, nothing burnt, singed, or nothing. But yet the people that put them in were burned alive. So, you know, they followed God. And that's what we're supposed to do. If you don't get nothing out of the lesson today, listen to what I have to say here right now. I'm going to repeat it. Everyone, everyone is accountable to God. Everyone is accountable to God. Everyone. Each person is accountable to God for his actions, whether he is in authority over others or in a position under authority. God is not prejudiced by culture, education, position, or wealth, and he will judge each person according to his righteous standards. Human authorities are accountable for how they exercise their authority. They are responsible to provide protection and direction for those under their care, to punish those who do wrong, and to praise those who do well. Those under authority are accountable to God for their responses to authority. Since God places authorities over us, to obey them is to submit to God, to God's design and authority in our lives. If an authority asks us to do something that is wrong, we need to appeal to him and explain why we cannot violate God's laws. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance for your service, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. 1 Peter 5, 5 to 7. Yea, all of you be in subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So, accountability is a foundation premise on which all relationships are built. As children of God, children of earthly parents, parents of our own children, employees, employers, and citizens of communities, each one of us must wisely carry out his responsibilities, both as an instrument of authority and as one who is submitted to authority. Thus, God's design can be implemented in our relationship with him, our families, our communities, and our nations. So everyone is accountable to God. Questions or comments on that? That was my introduction, and we're going through it. Okay. Go ahead.
How do you teach your children to respect authority?
That's what we're going to get into. And the title of it is, You Are in Charge. But guess what? I have to quit there. Any questions or comments? Okay. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for just the many aspects of your word. Help us to learn from it, Father. Help us to teach our children so that they can grow up to be adults that will honor you, serve you, and most of all, be in authority over and have your authority over them in their lives. So we praise you for it. Guide us throughout the rest of this day, the message that you've given to the pastor. Let it prick our hearts and teach us, Father, the things of you and of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.